I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arms are kind of rash. Is that a rash? And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast. I said podcast in a funny way, but I'm going to just keep on going. Ben, how are you feeling this week?
I'm okay. It's one of those weeks. I did some traveling, and I went up to Seattle to teach my one day seminar. I do some pilot writing classes, and whenever I travel, I tend to have some bouts of the dysphagia with my esophageal dysphagia when I go to different sort of climates. Yeah, so I went up to went from extremely dry Los Angeles up to extremely wet Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I don't even know if I had a bout of dysphagia or if I just created one mentally. But, yeah, so, a lot of difficulty swallowing, a lot of on the airplane, which, you know.
And people didn't mind, or were people like,
no, I think people minded. I mean, but, you know, there's I think that they probably thought to themselves, who is this maniac?
Yeah.
Everyone had
Nobody said it.
Yeah, nobody out loud said, who is this maniac who's making these noises or whatever. And I've gotten, over the years, I've gotten better at concealing what's going on or whatever, or at least just throwing my hacks so it sounds like some poor guy next to me is doing it. And then I point to him and I go, who is this maniac? I get people on board with me. It was a good trip up to Seattle. While I was in Seattle, I actually I learned something that was kind of crazy that could be fun to talk about here on the podcast.
What did you learn?
I learned that there's a movement, and we read this on BBC Earth, to kill all of the koalas in Australia because they have chlamydia.
So that's crazy to me for multiple reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The first reason being that koalas have chlamydia. That's nuts.
Right, it's nuts.
But also, are enough people catching chlamydia from these koalas that they want to wipe out the entire species?
So I don't know how many people are catching it, but I do know that people are catching it. And then they're not catching it the way that, so this was one of the things that irritated me about the first site that I went to about this, was that they had this little blurb in there that was like, and humans are catching it, ... not the way you're thinking. And it's like, come on. We know, nobody who's reading this website and nobody who's stumbled upon this looking for science information assumes that people are just going around having sex with koalas. It's disgusting. It's wrong.
The implication that the way you're thinking.
Yeah.
Because the way I'm thinking is accidental contact with fecal material,
right,
or, you know, pet dander.
And you are far more accurate. These people are
not the way you're thinking.
Right, exactly. When you stumbled upon scienceformorons.com, this is not what you would have imagined.
When you stumbled upon ladyfuckskoala.porn.org,
right,
this is not what you were expecting.
Right. No, and I think you just hit the nail on the head. They are assuming that you stumbled upon this information looking for koala-based pornography instead of the science facts that I was looking for. So Randy made mention of this. He thought it was herpes, but we found out it was chlamydia. Hey, you know,
which is that worse?
Chlamydia or herpes?
Yeah.
I think chlamydia is worse.
Does chlamydia go away, or is chlamydia a lifer?
I think it's a lifer, but I'm not 100% certain about this. Maybe hashtag us, is chlamydia a lifer, with information on that subject. But I'm under the impression, yes, that it's the kind of thing that you can manage living with, but that you're not going to get rid of.
Okay, okay.
But people were getting it from coming into contact with koala urine. And so, you know, I don't know if it was that they were holding these, you know, dirty, infected
koalas.
These dirty, infected koalas. But you can tell when a koala has the chlamydia. You would look at the picture. There were pictures of them, and they have a very pitch black discoloration on their fur on the side of them. Look it up. Maybe we'll throw a picture on the Twitter and the Instagram.
Yeah, chlamydia koala.
Yeah, chlamydia koala.
Oh, that's terrifying. But animal-borne illnesses. So I recently was listening to what is that podcast? It's another great podcast about, is it like Stuff You Should Know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They did one about cats, and I have a cat.
Yeah,
I love
her
dearly.
Sure.
I'm always looking to learn more about cats.
Sure.
And most of the information was not new information. It was things I had already learned from my subscription to the magazine Cat Fancy Magazine. But one fact made me really scared, and it was that you can get toxoplasmosis from cleaning your cat's litter box. And what that is, is a bacterial infection that you can get from cat feces, and it creates explosive rage disorder.
Whoa. Yeah. I kind of went down a rabbit hole of my own about various different ailments that you can contract from interactions with animals. And that you would find that a lot of them led to temper issues.
Which
that,
is terrifying.
Yeah, very,
so
very
I started
scary.
Thinking, am I experiencing explosive bouts of rage?
Yeah.
Which I think.
A quick answer, yes. Yes, absolutely yes. And we're off air. People, yes. The answer is yes. No,
and I
not.
Started going back through to be like, well, has my husband, because we both clean the litter box, like, have either of us been experiencing explosive bouts of rage?
Yeah.
And, like, I can experience a lot of rage, like, in the car sometimes. Like, if I'm, like, late for something and, like, you know, there like, traffic, that's when I'll, like, I will sometimes, like, scream in my car.
Rage, yeah.
Yeah, like, but not – and that's actually – the article said
– yours is internal.
Yes, it's internal. Like, I'm not yelling at someone.
Right.
I'll just be, like – so I'll just let out a guttural yell.
Yeah,
I'll
just
be like, ah!
That would be so scary to see in the car next to me. Just you screaming at the dumb
And like sometimes I'll cry. I'll just, will scream. And I have little chunks of like rubber that are missing from my steering wheel because I've gripped my steering wheel so hard with my fingernails while yelling.
Yeah.
But I think I did that before I ever had a cat. So I think that's just my personality. But
I
really started like trying to backtrack. And my husband is the kindest, most mild person in the world.
True,
so like
story.
So rage for him is being like, where's the milk?
Yeah.
So I was like trying to think like what defines like rage for Ben.
Quick question though. Yeah. Where is that fucking milk?
See, you might have explosive rage disorder.
I think I have
toxoplasmosis.
I can't believe I remembered it.
And also, toxoplasmosis, I did a little more reading, and it can lead to schizophrenia symptoms and even suicidal thoughts.
Oh, man.
Which is, I think if I had known that before I got a cat, I probably would have said, no cat for me.
No, definitely. I mean, those don't seem worth a cat.
Yeah.
But now that you do have a cat, we know June. Well, yeah, I think it is worth it.
I mean, she's the joy of my life.
She is.
I love her so much.
She's everything to you.
Oh, she's just so cute.
Speaking of so cute, we've got a really cute podcast today, don't we?
Oh, our podcast is adorable.
We have really just adorable.
The most adorable guest,
Marcy
Jarrow. She is a dear friend of mine. You can see her performing on Search History at UCB every Sunday at 11. She's been in a bunch of web videos.
Yeah.
Oh, she has an amazing short film called Relationship Goals that you can see on Vimeo.
Just won an award.
It just won Best Romantic Comedy at, I'll ask her what the film festival is.
The point is it won a festival. How many festivals did you people win?
Yeah. She's just the best. We're so excited to talk to her. Welcome, Marcy.
Hi.
Hi. Marcy.
Tell me what the name of the festival that your short won.
Hollywood Comedy Shorts.
Okay, cool.
Nice.
Hollywood Comedy
Very specific festival.
Yeah. Well, your short was a comedy short.
It was
in
shot
Hollywood.
In Hollywood. It was a comedy and it was short. It was
so
the longest
good.
Short there, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Anyone.
It's 25 minutes. We really stretched it out.
That's awful.
More of me.
Well, maybe some of those other short films should have stretched a little bit more. They'd have a shot at winning.
Yeah.
Bump it up, baby.
Yeah.
A little more romantic, a little more stretched.
Yeah. More sex.
Mm-hmm. More sex.
Yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you.
So just to jump right into it, we start the podcast with like a kind of easy, little breezy question.
Ooh.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you fear death?
Just easy breezy.
Oof. I don't know if I fear death at all. I fear like all the things that happened before that.
Ooh.
Like pain and stuff. But so like I fear being maimed pretty high.
Okay, so 10. So you fear, okay.
So you fear living through the thing and having it horrible more than dying from it.
Yes, I almost don't have any fear of death.
Whoa.
To a point that maybe is, maybe I'm not living life to the fullest. I'm really banking on it being awesome.
Because you don't mind the idea. Like if there was a button I pushed like on your back that just like
ended
you, that you would not be afraid of that button being pushed?
No, no. I don't. I guess like I don't have kids or significant others, so I'm like, ah.
So many people would be so sad.
Yeah, they'd be sad, but like they would be okay. Like there's no one who relies on me, so I don't fear it. And I don't.
So you don't fear. So your fear of death would come from just more of a fear of disappointing someone who is counting on you.
Maybe, but even still, I'd be like, well, they probably had to learn about something from me dying.
Oh, so.
Yeah. Well, because you believe a lot. We were talking about this like maybe a couple months ago about souls and what they need.
Yeah.
To learn.
It's the only way that I can like get through every day is to believe that there is some reason all this is happening and I have a little bit of like any bad thing that happens, I'm learning something from it. And even if like regardless of like spirituality or whatever, you are constantly learning stuff. So I'm not wrong about that.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so I believe that like whatever happens, like I guess there's a lesson to be learned there.
Yeah.
I don't know. But so yeah, I don't fear death hardly at all.
Yeah.
Right. I fear other people's, but not mine.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But you don't embrace death. Like, you just don't. It's just.
Depends on what day it is.
Gotcha. How are you feeling today? Yeah. How are you feeling about death today?
I feel like this could be a good week. I could stick around for it.
Nice.
If I had to
it's
die.
It's Thursday, though. Yeah.
Like, a lot of times I will feel, I'll literally have the thought, like, if I had to die, I would be okay dying at this moment. At the very specific moment after I have either like auditioned for something or interviewed for something that I think I might get. And I would like to die in like the 1 day time span when it's still possible in my mind that I got it.
Oh, I feel like maybe I'm the opposite. Like,
really?
Take me when it's things are bad.
Oh, no, I want to die
this
when...
suffering.
That's so interesting. So, I'm exactly the opposite.
Madeline wants to go out on a high note.
No.
Yeah. I want to go on not even a high note. My bar is just a hopeful note.
Right, right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting, though.
Yeah. Kill me on a day where everything else was already bad.
Right.
Oh, so you're just like, ugh, another
thing.
Yeah,
I don't even want people to make a big deal about it when I die. I'd like love to go in a in like a mass death situation.
Oh, yeah. No, I've definitely felt that way before, that like that's how you get out of, like, everyone has to die alone one way or another.
Yeah.
But that like if the sun just all of a sudden burnt out, like, we wouldn't. Or if you're, like, on an airplane and it crashes, like, there's, like, Madeline's shaking her head.
That sounds like the... least appealing. I always thought the least appealing way to die would be freezing to death because it's so slow and painful.
I think fire.
But I think I would rather freeze to death than die with a bunch of people.
See, I would rather with all the people because I know how good I would be in that situation.
Me too.
Like, I would be the, like, me and Marcy on that plane. Like, imagine when we flew back from Madeline's wedding together and we basically talked.
Right,
yeah, we talked for like the entire 6 hours. Like, and then, incidentally, unrelated to Marcy, we landed and I found out I had torn my meniscus. Just from sitting on the plane. Because we were. And I had this idea in my head, like, okay, every hour I'm going to get up and walk around because I was having knee problems. But we had such a good conversation that I forgot about it. Also, I forgot that I had eaten a weed brownie. So that was like a component of it. But
that's why I was entertaining you.
No,
it
was
so
great.
Much.
No, because in the past, when I've eaten weed brownies, people around me who I kind of know on airplanes who are sitting next to me accidentally terrify me. But no, we had a great conversation.
I've set you at ease.
Yeah, you did. And if the plane had been going down, we would have set all of them at ease.
I think I really could be helpful in an emergency situation.
Oh,
I think so too.
I agree with that 1,000%.
Yeah. I think it's because I'm really
Without a doubt.
I'm preoccupied with other people's lives already. Like, I like if at any given moment, like, there's something wrong with my life, I'm probably going to defer and talk about someone else's problems anyway.
That's really interesting.
Because I just, you know, like, I just don't, a lot of self-focus feels like, it's not a selfless thing. It's just I can't even handle it.
It helps you to process, to look outward instead of inward.
So I think I'd rather deal with other people's deaths at the same time. I don't want, like, my family surrounding me in a bed. That could change. A lot could change in my life.
Yeah.
But that terrifies me.
Yeah. Of, like, just, like, knowing that, like,
people looking at you, like, wondering what happens next.
Yeah.
Like, when does this end? And just, like, looking on and hoping maybe you'll pull through. But for what? To die another day?
Right.
Like, it's just, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Like, especially in this day and age where we can kind of just barely keep people alive,
like,
forever if we want to. That I remember, like, when my grandma was dying, when my grandma was in hospice, that we went to the hospital, like, every day for, like, 5 or 6 days, like, thinking, like, that, okay, like, you know, like you're saying, like, fingers crossed that she's going to pull through. But realistically knowing, no, she's not going to pull through. It's just how long before we're willing to accept that she's not going to pull through. And then we let it go. And at some point, we were kind of like, after 5 or 6 days, maybe she doesn't like us staring at her waiting for her to die. Like, maybe what she would prefer is for us to go away and then come back and, like, honor the passing, you know?
Yeah, I think that's probably what I would.
Well, that's like how cats do when they feel like they're going to die. They go and hide because they don't want people.
Or like Native Americans walking out into the wilderness.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's like a pretty private thing. I mean, I say that like I know.
Yeah,
it just sort of sounds
well,
good.
You don't need, like, to be born, you need assistance to come into the world. But to leave it, you could do it by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
Imagine as you're dying, somebody was like, push.
Yeah, hurry, hurry. I'm like, oh, God, no.
Man.
I cannot take any more pressure.
Have you watched someone die before?
I haven't been there at the moment of death, but the week that my grandfather was dying, I was in the room while he was kind of coming in and out of consciousness. Like, he, one, forgot English and only spoke in French for that last week. So I mean, a lot of it was like, a mix of, like, old Creole, like, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me, even what I did understand. And he kept thinking I was my grandmother, which was, she had already passed, which is kind of, like, weird. He would, like, reach out to me, and I was like, this is intense and scary.
Yeah.
And it just felt like maybe, like, a prolonged, like, it just, it was dragging on for, like, the moment. But no, I haven't, when my aunt died a few years ago, I called her the week that, like, she knew she was going to die.
Yeah.
And she was like, it's okay if you don't want to come home for the funeral. And I was like, okay, so we're going to make peace now.
Yeah.
But I had, like, I've had a lot of deaths in my family. So, like, in a span of 5 years, I had 4 deaths. It wasn't, like, crazy, but for not all being grandparents, it felt like a lot.
Yeah.
Because my other grandparents died when I was young, so.
And has that, and it, so it was illness related mostly, right?
Old age for and then illness, cancer and ALS.
Do you have a lot of, like, anxiety about illness in your own body, or do you?
I'm positive something's going. Maybe I'm like, I'm ignoring something big. I bet, but but I'm like, I'm still fine, so it must be okay.
Yeah,
I do have that worry that, like, one day when things are going good, I'm gonna go for a check and be like, I let a lot of shit slide.
Yeah.
That's so.
But I haven't been to a doctor since 2009. I mean, besides, like, gynecologists.
Yeah.
You gotta keep it clean down there.
You really do.
You got to make sure it works. I don't know why, because it's so much potential to break, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it's, like, so much potential to kill you.
On this podcast, how...
gynecologists?
How your dangerous female reproductive organs are every fucking
day.
They're
so dangerous. They're like a time...
Am I allowed to curse on this?
I think so.
Oh, you can bleep
it
out.
We don't
know. Oh, we don't know. I have.
Okay, every dadgum day,
the
female reproductive system is like a ticking time bomb that only works for... It works for about 35 to 40 years max.
Yeah.
Like, that's how long it will work. It's not functioning for the first, like, decade of your life. Then it peters out in your 40s. And then it can literally kill you.
Mm-hmm.
That's when my aunt had ovarian cancer.
Ugh.
Oh, yikes.
Yeah.
She was very proud because she was a lifelong smoker
that
it was not lung cancer.
Oh, yeah, I feel that. How long do dicks last?
I mean, they can really go on and on and on. Even with even when guys get like prostate cancer, it's like, it's probably fine. Like my dad has prostate cancer.
Oh no!
But it's really like it was the day we found out was like a little scary. But then it's like, yeah, we're gonna check you every 90 days and literally not do anything until it looks worse.
Yeah.
What is the check? Is it the finger and the
he already did that. That's how they. Yeah, so the check would be like. Blood levels and scans.
So he just goes in, takes his. Gets
yeah,
his
he
blood
already
taken.
Said if they. He said after the one like check, he said, "I'd rather just die. I'm not
really?
Doing this again.
It's that bad.
That was too much. Yeah. He just didn't like it.
No, yeah. Our first, we had a guest. The guest, Will Hines, talked about. He didn't love it either. And in a way that, but the way that he described it was just in a way where it was like, yeah, no, why would anyone love that? Like to hear that you would rather. Die then go through it again.
Yeah.
Well, and we talked about it on, you know, in Will's interview, but just what a window that is into the difference between the way men experience the world and women experience the world. Because like none of us are ever complaining, but every time you go to a gynecologist, they pry you open with like a medieval instrument.
Yeah, they put like a speculum inside of you and spread your vaginal walls apart as much as they can comfortably for her to like
get in
dig
there.
In,
yeah.
Get two in. Get two hands in. And
then
the man's she
like,
had
then
the
I
nerve.
I want someone to put their finger in my butt.
She,
like,
yeah. No, she. Hey. My. The,
you want one in your butt?
I had my doctor put her. I don't know which digit. I think it was the thumb. Yeah, I feel like
her
it was
thumb?
Like you can't see it, but I'm holding two fingers together and the thumb underneath, like I'm doing a puppet.
Yeah,
and she had the two fingers in my vagina and then just put a thumb in my ass without telling me.
Whoa.
What was that for?
I don't know.
It
she
was like
never
she was like
explained.
Bracing herself. She was right. Just like, well, this is kind of easier if I just like.
I think she was like trying to feel in between the rectum and vaginal walls, like there can possibly be tumors there.
Maybe she just wanted to see if she could. Get away with it.
I mean, well, she did. She got away with it.
You didn't say anything?
And then I stopped trusting doctors.
Yeah. Tell me more about that, about not trusting doctors.
Oh, it's because I have a lot of allergies to medicines, basically.
Okay.
What
and they
medicines?
Cause them.
Doctors cause your allergies
to
medicines? That's crazy.
When I was first born, I could take a medicine and be fine.
Yeah.
And then after years of doctors probably giving me too much of a penicillin and penicillin derivative medications unnecessarily. I assume unnecessarily.
Yeah.
I was never hospitalized, so
it
hadn't gone that far. Then I became allergic, and now the last time I went to a doctor, she literally told me, she was like, "You keep becoming allergic to new medications. I don't want to give you medicine anymore. If you're very sick, you'll go to the hospital. They will treat you. Then they will deal with your." With the side effects or the allergies. But she's like, basically, I'm marking stuff off a list. And then legally, because of the Hippocratic oath, they can't give you stuff that they know will cause harm.
Sure.
So, like they
were
just ticking things off that I could not do anymore.
Oh,
that,
basically ruining you for if,
for
God
future.
Forbid, something
right.
horrible
yeah.
happened and you needed, like, some kind of medicine right away.
Because, like, penicillin cures everything
right.
and I can't have anything that's even derivative.
Were you sick a lot as a kid? Is that
I had like I probably just had asthma that caused me to have like ear infections and bronchitis a lot. That's all. Like and even as an adult I would get bronchitis like 3 times a year.
Yeah.
And then when I stopped going to doctors, guys, I don't get sick. I get like mildly sick, but like it's something I can usually handle with with like rest and liquid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, people get like infections from going to the doctor and stuff like that. I mean, that's like the number one killer in hospitals. So when's the last time you went to like a doctor that wasn't trying to give you the shocker in your vagina?
I think, it was probably like that doctor in New York who was like, honestly, because
so never in LA.
What happened was she had given me like a Z-Pack, you know,
Madeline's a big fan of Z-Pack.
Oh, yeah, I love a Z-Pack.
And then my throat started to swell, not shut, but like it was swelling. And I
could feel it.
And I called to be like, my throat's swelling. And she was like, oh, okay. You can come in tomorrow and I'll just, she's like, go to a pharmacy and I'll give you a cortisone pill. So I was like, I feel like I needed a shot. So I had like a little cortisone pill and then my tongue and throat stopped swelling. And then when I went to follow up with her, she was like, I mean, I just don't want to like give you any more medicine, I guess.
Yeah.
Which is smart.
I mean, it's interesting like, that like when as when you're allergic to things, that's how they find out, is they immerse you in those things. And then, so if you're sick, they give you medicine. Mm-hmm. If you're allergic, they give you the thing that you're allergic to see. But if you're allergic to the medicine, yeah, I guess they would just be at their wits' ends. Like, what do we do?
But like she was saying, like in a hospital, like they could. If I were in a hospital, I could get penicillin, and they'd also give me cortisone, and it would probably be fine.
Yeah.
Being on your own.
Yeah, because my first allergic reaction, I was like maybe 13, and I'd been on, like, I've always had amoxicillin, like that's the medicine they give kids. Tastes like
pink medicine.
Yummy.
Yeah. That's what, yeah. I didn't know it was called anything but pink medicine.
Pink medicine. Yeah.
Tastes so good.
It's yummy.
I would get an amoxicillin flavored milkshake if someone.
You know, hand grenades in New Orleans taste like amoxicillin.
Really?
You know, on Bourbon Street.
I'm going to New Orleans in a couple of weeks.
Get
I'm
a hand grenade from
hand
Tropical
grenades.
Isles.
Yeah?
Give me money. Tropical Isles. And it tastes a little bit like amoxicillin.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's going to make you drunk. So, like, I guess I was like 12 or 13, and I don't know, like a bronchitis or ear infection, all the same. Upper respiratory infection. And I had an arthritic allergic reaction, which meant every joint in my body was inflamed and swollen. And my feet and hands looked insane.
That's crazy.
It was awful.
That's horrible.
And so the doctor took days to take me off the actual penicillin. He's like, stop taking the cough syrup. Like, as if that was making your whole body swell. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I really hated him. And then, like, a week later, I went to the hospital to, like, get a cortisone shot.
Yeah.
And they were like, your doctor should have taken you off this immediately.
Ugh.
They were like, of course it was the penicillin. Yeah. Or the amoxicillin. And then a week later, I went back to the hospital because my insides started. I had a secondary reaction, and my intestines. I thought I couldn't breathe, but I think it was just pressure. My intestines had swollen up.
No.
Wow.
They were just like kind of coming up to my lungs.
It
just felt like
I couldn't
breathe.
Rising?
I was like, I can't breathe.
Because they were literally squeezing your lungs?
Yeah, it was hurting. It was hurting to breathe.
That's so scary.
Like a year or two later, I had some kind of like, I think it was zithromycin was the next allergic reaction. And my acting class teacher was like, was the one who figured out what I was allergic to because her husband's a doctor. But I was at school and I said to someone, I was like, my lip looks weird. Does it look weird? I said, my lip feels weird. Does it look weird? And they started laughing. Like, are you joking? And I was like, no, why? And they're like, you look like the Nutty Professor.
No!
My lip had swollen so big, and then my eye closed shut.
Wait, but nobody told you?
It felt tingly. Yeah. And I was like, does this look weird? And they're like, yeah, it looks really weird.
That's crazy.
And it was 3 weeks after I had stopped the medicine. So it was another delayed reaction.
But that's terrifying.
I really my face swelled up like the Nutty Professor, like one part at a time.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I think my parents took us to the doctor too much.
I don't think my parents took me to the doctor too much, but I do remember like conversations. I mean, I had a bad pediatrician, so I don't know who was right. Like, but I remember a lot of conversations as a kid where my mom was like, give her some medicine. And he was like, no, I'm not gonna. And she was like, what? You can't get medicine. I'm fine.
Like that's probably the better. Erring on the side of like not needing medicine is probably better.
Yeah.
Now
as an adult, I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
I feel like.
But having a kid, you would be so worried that, like, you have to help the baby.
Yeah.
Well, so much of it isn't really medicine. It's just symptom masking. So I get it. Like, medicine, if you're going to fix a thing, but just making us more comfortable with things that we should probably get used to feeling, that's got to be.
I don't trust that. Yeah. No, I don't take any. I, like, take, like, Advil. And then sometimes I'll take a Benadryl, mostly if I really need to go to sleep and I can't fall asleep.
Right. Have you ever heard the way medicine is moving forward is that they're making like customized, like medicine won't work on me the way it'll work on you, like how I'm allergic to penicillin, so I can't take it. But also like some over-the-counter medicines don't, like aspirin does nothing for me.
Really?
Naproxen, sodium, like Aleve things make me very sick to my stomach.
Really?
I can kind of only take, the only thing that works very well is ibuprofen.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like everyone's body chemistry is different, so there's not like a, it's so weird to think about vaccines or medicines. Like, they won't necessarily work for everyone.
No.
They could make things infinitely worse.
Yeah. There's not enough monitoring to, like, see how people are reacting to individual medicines.
Yeah, doctors are trying to get as many patients as possible. And, like,
I remember when I was in my teens, I don't remember why I took it. But, I mean, it was something that was some, like, condition as opposed to, like, a sickness. I took, like, anti-seizure medication. I've never had a seizure in my life. But for whatever was going on inside of me individually, seizure medication was going to counteract it. I know, like, my mom, who has multiple sclerosis, has taken certain medications that I've taken. I don't have multiple sclerosis. Mine was always for, like for mood disorders, that kind of stuff.
But yeah.
There are similar traits going on in these pills. Yeah,
that's so crazy.
Yeah.
Now, Marcy, since you're pretty anti-medicine, do you use any like unconventional remedies when you're like experiencing a problem, like either like natural or
I am really into oil of oregano now when I have like colds or
two.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've told me to take oil of oregano a bunch of times.
Did you take it?
No. I didn't even know where to. I can't follow through, really.
I got like it really tastes really bad.
It does.
So I get like little capsules.
Yeah.
I order from Amazon.
They put that in those like wellness shots too that you would get at like Nature Well and stuff like that. Yeah, like anytime I'm sick, I'll go and get their what's it called? It's just the little shot that.
I don't know what all, but it's like a bee sting or something. Yeah. It's like got oil of oregano and like bee pollen. And
and lemon and
It's nasty. It's rough.
Yeah,
but it works.
But it works.
It works. Yeah. I find at least, if nothing else, it makes me believe I'm feeling better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I used to do neti pots a lot until my mom told me, she like sent me an article about two women in Louisiana dying.
Yes.
From getting...
I used to do neti pots until my mom sent me that same article.
They were using tap water and they got bacterial infections in their brains and died.
They neti potted like an infection into their brain they died.
What water should you use?
You should get some, I think it's distilled water that you can buy in a gallon.
Yeah.
Like they have like for nursery and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't give a baby tap water.
No.
Like they sell They sell like
You're
distilled...
not supposed to give a baby tap water?
No. I mean, just because their immune systems, when they're newborn, they're not, if they're like on formula, they're not.
And like all the minerals in the water and stuff too, right?
Yeah,
like
they don't. Yeah. So it's just distilled water that you can get like by the gallon and then boil so you can mix it to the temperature you like. So you can add boiled water with distilled water and then it should feel like your hand, like when you touch it, it should be warm enough. That way, because if it's cold in your brain, it's like,
I just threw my neti pot out immediately when I heard that.
No, I didn't give up on it.
Well, for the two reasons, though, because I got scared and then because I felt like it worked, like, the first time really well. And then I felt like it actually didn't help. It just moved the infection somewhere else.
Well, I think because I don't know anything about this, but what I believe is happening is, like, you got something inside of you.
Yeah.
And the mucus is, like, it must be that's where all the little virus or bacteria is up here. So the mucus is surrounding them to try to help get them out of your system.
Yeah.
So if you're flushing the mucus out, it's like, great, we'll move on down then.
Yeah. Whoa. Yeah.
But it still does like if you have, you know, it does help out with, I don't know, it's like cleaning your air filter.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like if you know, you should occasionally just clean it. And you're like, oh, look at all the black boogers.
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
It is
like
really fun.
It's really like in the same way that cleaning your ears is fun.
Right.
I'm trying to think of what else I do. This is something I don't really do, but I'm very into. It's I think her name is Louise Hayes. Have you talked about her yet on the show?
No.
So I'm insane. Okay. But she is one of those people. Like, there's a book she has called Heal Yourself.
Ooh. Oh, I love. Give it to me. I love it.
It is even more than it's new age and a half.
Yeah.
So it's basically like anything that you have wrong with you. There's like an appendix. Like if you cut your finger, if you have diabetes, if you have diarrhea, whatever.
It's all
there's an appendix, and And there is an emotional reason for it.
Ooh, I love that shit.
You were causing it through your own emotions and fixations.
Yeah.
And that there, and I don't really, but that there is a meditation that you can release it.
But it's so funny
how, like, I think fat thighs are because you have issues with your anger issues with your dad.
That's really specific and funny.
Thighs are because of your dad.
You can do a meditation.
You can do it. You can release the anger that you have for your father. I release the anger that I have for my father.
That's so funny. Have you done that? Have you, like, used that book on your own?
No. I mean, I always, like, we used to keep it in the living room. But we would just be like, oh, what does that mean? Especially because some people have chronic injuries that not like I hurt my knee a lot because I have bad knees. But like my neighbor slash friend, you've met her. She always burns her. She's always burning her forearms. And my roommate, I forget what, but we're like, we gotta look that up. And like it does, like if you like cut your left hand, it means something different than in your right hand.
That's so crazy.
Yeah. I'm not super into that, but it is something that if something's happening, I might go look it up.
Yeah.
But not really do the meditation. But
Do you have any chronic pains or chronic, like,
I mean, like,
do you have any, like, yeah.
I have, like, my sciatic. I guess that's just, like, I got in a car accident, like, 5 days before I moved to New York where I was, like, never going to take care of myself again. And I was like, it's probably fine. I remember like going to the doctor after the car accident and he was like, well, your reflexes on your right aren't really working very well, but they'll probably come back. No, just a decade, 15 years almost.
Your reflexes on your right still aren't
They're
as
there,
good.
There, but like I have a pinched nerve. Like it's my side. Like if I wear high heels, my right foot is numb for a week.
Can I look up what that means?
What?
I Google Louise
Hayes?
Louise Hayes?
I think
Louise.
Yeah, Google it. Do you have to cut this part out?
Where I'm Googling? I don't have to cut it out if you say something really fun.
Okay.
Louise Hayes, feel your body.
I'm trying to think of any other
sciatica.
I get migraines a lot.
Like the super shooty pain head ones or like the ocular ones?
From a young child, I started getting ocular migraines.
Me too.
Where I just like would lose eyesight in my right eye.
You get the, like the spinnies, the color wheel spinny thing.
Mine would go out like snow on a TV. Like I would just lose complete. I could like see a color, like but in a speck. So it would go out, and I think it's because my brother hit me in the head with a baseball bat when
so you have like a permanent concussion.
I probably do. This eyelid was reattached completely.
Okay.
Did you look it up? Yeah. What does my sciatic mean?
Being hypocritical and fear of money and of the future.
That is so true. What's my meditation?
Your meditation is, I move into my greater mood. My good is everywhere and I am safe and secure. Do you want to say that?
Let me see it. Let me read it. Okay. I'm going to heal myself.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And then I'm going to do scoliosis next.
Yeah.
I move into my greater mood. My good is everywhere and I'm safe and secure. And then you want to know if anyone has scabies? I am the living, loving, joyous expression of life. I am my own person.
Can you imagine someone with scabies just saying, someone with their skin and they're like, I am my living, loving, joyous.
I think that's such an interesting thing because I'm really into new age stuff.
Yeah.
That I think I always am just more entertained than anything by it, but I kind of buy into it too.
I buy into it too. I don't know if I buy into like, cutting your hand, because I think sometimes that's just like an accident.
Yeah.
But like things like sciatica, I feel like I took some like dumb new agey acting class one summer in New York, and some like that's when I learned about all this stuff. And some girl had like a chronic like shoulder pain, and this acting lady was like, that's your father. He's on your shoulder.
Yeah.
And then I cried and cried because that's all I did in that class.
But we were talking about migraines. Yeah, so I got ocular migraines where I would like just lose eyesight in my right eye because from an injury. Mm-hmm. My brother hit me in the eye with a baseball bat on accident. And then I had my first real deal migraine a few years ago. It was here in LA because I was babysitting for some very, very nice but kind of big deal people. Yeah. And I had to like, I put their baby to bed and was like, And I had gone on a hike that day, so I was like, maybe I'm just a little dehydrated.
Yeah, yeah.
And I like laid on the floor and had to turn out the lights, and I was like, I can't stand. I called my mom like crying, be like, I don't know what's happening. She's like, call 911. I was like, I'm not calling 911. And then I started projectile vomiting all in their kitchen. And I was like,
oh,
I know what this is. But
you're possessed.
But once that happened, I was like, yes, I know.
Yeah.
This is an actual migraine.
It's like, thank goodness.
Yeah, because I thought I was having an aneurysm. I was like, is this how I die? Like, is there a blood clot in my brain?
Yeah. Because you don't know.
Yeah, so I called
them.
And they came home. They were so nice.
Oh.
They're like, can we take you to Cedars-Sinai? I was like, I don't know what would happen there.
Yeah.
And then my roommate picked me up. But they were very, they were super nice.
Do you want to know what a migraine?
Yeah, what's a migraine?
A migraine is sexual fears or fear of being close, letting someone in too close. Or feeling driven or pressured.
Wow.
I was working at a job that was too much pressure.
There it is.
And I had a migraine and then quit a week later.
Yeah.
I quit like 2 weeks later, I think, because I started thinking I was going to have them again.
Yeah.
And I had like PTSD about, because if you know what, like, I feel like before I heard about migraines, I was like, they're sort of bullshit, right? Like, I was like, I don't, like, oh, you have a migraine.
Yeah.
And then when I had one, I was like, oh, this is actually the most, I've broken bones, I've cut open my body.
Yeah.
This is the most painful and scary thing I've experienced.
Yeah. I've never had one.
I mean, I think TV led us to believe that migraines were just an excuse to get out of going on a date. Like, you would just say, like, I would, but I've got a terrible migraine, and then you stay in and you wash your hair. And that's like why you didn't have to go out with him.
Yeah. No, it was really bad.
Migraines are my excuse. I'm going to go on the air, and anybody who I know who listens to this, unless I start getting migraines sometime in the future, if I say I have a migraine, I'm lying. That's a lie.
Oh, right.
That's a straight up lie.
I think we all have a thing that we go to that no one will question. Like, I was telling this to somebody the other day that, like, when I was a kid, not a kid, but like when I was like in my like early 20s, whenever somebody asked me if I wanted to go out to the bar, and I don't drink, so I the answer was always no.
Yeah.
They would say, oh, come on, don't be a pussy. So I just started telling them, I started inviting them over to watch baseball because no one wants to watch baseball. So I didn't even have to watch it, but I knew that no one was going to call me a pussy or come to my home. Will you look up dysphagia inability to swallow condition was esophageal dysphagia.
I have the book. I got to let you borrow it. But it's really funny with the migraine stuff. I think the first one was the worst, and then I've just been so afraid of them since then.
Yeah.
But none of the other ones have been quite as bad, even if I've thrown up. But the first one was really...
Yeah.
Like, so I was like, okay, I guess I won't... When people say they have migraines now, I won't roll my eyes.
Right.
Because truly was just so... Mm-hmm. I really had anxiety about it for months.
No,
afterwards.
Totally. I mean, I think that's so much of these conditions is just that you have it once. It's not even that it's so painful, though it is so painful.
Yeah.
It's that you never knew that this pain could exist before, and now it exists, and it's yours, and you don't know if anyone else has ever had this, at least in that moment.
Right.
That's sort of what we like about this podcast is that, like, that somebody's going to listen to what you're talking about, and it's going to relieve so much anxiety that they were having because they didn't know that this was just, like, a migraine
thing. I mean, truly, like, it went from, like, my eye down to my neck, and I was like, oh, God, what's happening? I really almost should, like, the parents of the kid I was babysitting was so nice.
I couldn't find dysphagia specifically, but a sore throat, at least, is the inability to speak up for oneself, swallowed anger, or stifled creativity.
Huh. That doesn't sound like me, but what if you did something related
book,
to like GERD or acid reflux or that kind of stuff?
I used to have that a lot too. There's a lot of things that once I stopped going to doctors and was like, a lot of things that are happening are kind of something I could stop.
Yeah.
Like even with the allergies and stuff. Like, did you know that if you are allergic to tree pollen or whatever, which is kind of hard, like when you go back to the East Coast, it's inescapable.
Yeah.
But you can go inside and take a shower and change your clothes.
Yeah, yeah.
and that you will immediately feel better.
There's so many things like that where it's like you always see those commercials for like Prilosec or something, and it's like, oh no, you ate three chili dogs in a row, and now your
Larry
stomach
the cable
hurts.
Guy.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Like, just
it's like
don't
why
eat
are you,
three chili
yeah,
dogs.
Stop doing that.
Yeah.
Like, granted, you know, like a lot of people have like a pre-existing condition, and you take the thing, but it's all, but they're all, they always seem to be pushing for like, hey, keep living like a piece of shit.
Yeah.
But also take this pill. And you'll be fine, and maybe it will. But
sleep and water can cure so many.
Yeah.
Unless it is actually a disease, sleep and water can cure most of your illnesses.
Right? Yeah. No. For the most part, just drown it.
Yeah.
And sleep through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Especially because like so much of that waking time you spend sick is spent being anxious about it.
Yeah.
Just like go to sleep in 6 hours. Are you going to be better for the 6 hours? Yeah, kind of. Just from the time that time is going to heal most of it, unless you should definitely be in the hospital.
You guys talked about Munchausen syndrome.
Not yet.
No.
There's a girl on my Facebook who my friend and I, like my friend is in another country, and we like will screenshot stuff back and forth about this girl who maybe is very sick.
Mm-hmm.
But she loves it.
She loves it.
Like that she has this debilitating illness and is very braggy. And recently someone else died and she posted a lot of pictures of herself dressed as an angel. But
wait,
from a decade ago.
Wait, what?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's insane.
Yeah. And her mom's in on it too. Like they're both like,
they love that she's
asking for prayers and stuff.
If you guys out there in the Twitter world, if you feel this same way, let us know about it. Maybe give us Crunch and Munchausen.
Crunch and Munchausen.
Yeah. I think I have like mini Munchausens.
Because
I always, as much as I'm like a little bit of a hypochondriac, I also ever want is to be sick enough that it like excuses me to just like relax for a day.
You could just relax, Madeline.
I don't know.
Madeline would never allow that.
I
think that is, but
I'll just
that's
die.
Your like we don't even need to look up your Louise Hayes thing. It's just that you are looking for an excuse to not feel bad about taking a day off.
I just want to be sick enough. Not that I get a lot done in my life. It's not like, oh, I'm so productive. I just like always want to be just sick enough that I can't like get on my laptop and scroll Facebook and feel bad about not doing more.
Can I just tell you
this
now that you actually should figure that out?
Yeah.
Because you right now, and God bless you, you are not in demand right now.
No.
You are not famous.
No, nobody wants me to go anywhere.
One day you will be and you will not be able to handle it. Because you're going to overextend yourself to death.
But part of me thinks...
To death.
To death.
No, part of me thinks that if there is a point in my life when I'm ever in demand, it'll actually be easier because there will be more defined. I'll know when I'm working.
No
like,
way.
Where
you'll
this
just
is
always
like such
busy.
A soup
you'll never,
of like,
no,
I guess
just
I'm just trying to do a project.
Time.
I think that's the thing. In that way, I'm definitely on board with Marcy on this one. It's for you. It's all about forgiving yourself.
Yeah.
And that like you're not, you won't ever allow yourself to believe that you've done enough. And
that's
so
true.
A lot of times you just need that rest and you're not affording yourself the opportunity.
You should almost schedule it, I bet.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel, and it's truly like, I don't feel like I have earned any time to relax.
Yeah.
I never feel like I've earned time to just fully relax.
Well, and you and Beyonce. Look what happened to her marriage.
That's right.
But then
lemonade.
She made lemonade.
Hashtag
lemonade.
Milk lemonade.
Yeah, I feel like I have to have something bad happen to me to
no,
be allowed
you don't.
To relax.
Because if that's what you believe, then that's what it's going to take.
Yeah, that's true.
And you don't want that.
No, I don't want
get
that.
Get ahead of it. Yeah.
Okay.
But I do
okay.
think that like, people, like, I have friends that, like, overextend themselves and then, like, and then they get pneumonia.
Yeah.
And then they're like, great, now I can take time off. It's like, yeah, that's what your body had to do for you to, like, and honestly, like, then they like are so happy to have a little downtime.
I know.
It's like they say to eat before you're hungry, because by the time you're hungry, or you know, drink water on a regular basis, because by the time you're dehydrated, you can't. It's not the same simple process for getting through that.
Yeah. Well, so if we should wrap it up, but before I found out what Louise Hayes says about heartburn.
Okay.
Which is you know heartburn in parentheses reflux, clutching on to fear, not trusting in the process of life.
That sounds like me in a nutshell.
Yeah. Rod. And do you want to know your affirmations?
Rod.
Yeah, that's definitely like my horoscope version of it or whatever. Like.
Yeah. The affirmation is, I breathe freely and fully. I am safe. I trust the process of life.
I'm shit. I trust the process of life.
I cannot relax until I finally affirmed my worth.
You know actually what would help me to relax? Let's play a game.
Oh, I forgot. Yeah,
you're going to play a game with you, Marcy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the scorekeeper.
Yeah, Ben is the scorekeeper. So our game is related to something Ben and I were talking about a little earlier. Animal-borne illnesses.
Yeah. We both went down like a little rabbit hole of shit you can get from being around critters.
Yeah, a lot of critters. So here's how the game works. I will ask you which animal carries a certain disease, give you multiple choice, and you'll try to guess which animal has that disease.
I'm going to say I'm going to be pretty good at this.
I kind of have a feeling you will be. This seems like something you would just.
I love animals.
You're going to get a series of multiple choice questions. If you'd like to ask for a hint, that will of course diminish the amount of points that you can receive for it. You may ask of me.
Okay.
First question: which animal carries leprosy? Which animal carries leprosy? A. Pigeons. B. Hyenas. C. Armadillos.
Armadillos.
You knew it from the beginning?
Yes.
How'd you know? You're correct.
I just know that armadillos carry leprosy. Yeah. That's why they're not great pets.
I feel like for a variety of reasons.
I really almost said
pets.
It. Did you see me be like.
Yeah. I know. I'm proud of you for just waiting until I said. Yeah.
I was like, well, just in case it's not one of the options, what if it was like a bird? I believe birds could give you anything.
Oh, birds are so dirty.
All right.
So
dirty. Let's do this.
Armadillos. Yeah, that's great. Also, a fun fact about armadillos, this is unrelated to health and wellness, but do you know armadillos can cross a river by filling themselves up or by expelling all of their air and getting heavy enough that they can walk across the bottom?
Wow.
Isn't
that ridiculous?
Yeah. So for that, you would have received 15 points, but because you answered before you even got to the fourth answer, you get 20 points.
Yeah!
Oh, 20 points. Okay. Number two, which animal carries anthrax?
Anthrax.
A, hippo. B, elephant. C, cobra. D, capybara.
I don't really know this one, but I'm going to say the C, a cobra, but I don't think that's correct. It's probably a capybara.
It's not a capybara. I threw that one in because it seemed too specific to be just a fake answer.
Madeline
but the
likes
correct
to trick people in our games.
Yeah. The correct answer is hippo.
Hippo. Well, honestly, you shouldn't get near a hippo. They'll kill you.
No, hippo will kill you. Most deadly animal.
So you're dead of getting mauled by a hippo.
Yeah, the risk actually
if you anthrax. How?
So anthrax can be also found, FYI, in horses. So a lot of livestock can carry anthrax. Mm-hmm. And the infection is usually acquired through the ingestion of contaminated soil, fodder, I don't know what fodder is, or compound feed. So, like, anthrax spores can grow in soil, and then a hippo will eat that soil, and they can cause disease, and then if you ingest it, if you get too close to a hippo.
Shit.
Yeah, if you eat hippo meat, or I guess if you get close enough to a hippo without that hippo killing you.
Okay. Right. Like, if you fall in love with a hippo.
Yeah,
if you fall in love with a hippo.
If you do a ballet with a hippo, thinking that this hippo is the best ballet dancer because you've seen Fantasia.
I
guess the hippo needs to fall in love with you, too. It has to be mutual.
It has to be consensual.
I've
learned from Fantasia is a hippo will seduce you and then leave you.
Is that what happens in Fantasia?
I feel like I have a kind of memory. I mean, I could be wrong. So I feel like she was like batting her eyes.
A lady cartoon eyelashes.
Yeah. And she like danced with a broom, an animated broom. Okay.
And then she took all your money.
Then she gave you anthrax.
And she gave you anthrax.
STD.
Okay, so which animal currently carries the plague, the bubonic plague? A, ants, B, prairie dogs, C, centipedes, D, hamsters.
Centipedes?
No. Nah, prairie dogs.
Good. Keep them in the prairie. Yeah.
And here's a scary fact. Yeah. So if you live in Arizona, New Mexico, or Colorado, where there are a lot of prairie dogs, and your pet, like your cat or your dog, like eats a prairie dog that has the plague, then your cat can get the plague. That's how you can get the plague if you live in Arizona.
Oh, Well, don't let your, if you live in Arizona, send me some turquoise and keep your animals inside.
Yeah. Keep your animals inside.
A cat seems like a bad pet for Arizona. I don't know what it is about the desert that doesn't seem like a
cat. Cat doesn't
want to
live in the desert.
Well, they love sunning on rocks, though.
Oh, really?
Well, that's true.
A cat loves to sun.
Yeah, no, I've noticed that. You can't, also, when a cat is sunning, you think it's dead until you get close enough for it to move. They're constantly sunning on the hot tin roof of my garage.
Ooh.
And yeah, I just always think that they're dead. Yeah. I'm a southern gentleman.
Wait, but a cat on a hot tin roof
is dead.
The cat on a hot tin roof is supposed to be not having a nice time, right? I thought the play title is about people having a bad time, and that's why they're a cat on a hot tin roof.
Yeah, I don't know.
They're happy?
I don't know.
I
so that plays like a relaxing play?
Yeah, that's a very relaxing play.
No, I always thought
I don't
a
know,
cat
it's not a relaxing
on a hot
play
tin
at all.
Roof was like jumping all around and having a bad time, and that's why it was the name
that,
of a play.
That would make sense. But there's a lot of strays in my condo complex, and I look out on my my garage, and there one is laying there, and and then I go and give the garage a little poke to see if he stirs. He's learned my trick, so he stopped stirring, but I know that he lives.
That's
all
good.
Yeah.
Okay, last question. Which animal carries influenza A? Which animal can give you the flu? Pigs, seals, whales, or chickens?
Oh, God. I gotta say chickens, because birds will give you, they'll give you some kind of influenza, but it might be a pig.
Okay, you are actually, you're double correct, because it's a trick question.
Right.
All of those animals can give you the flu. So you get, I say, you're the points person.
I'm the points guy.
Well, I can get 10 points.
I can't speak to.
I imagine I get 10.
You get 10 points.
Speak to the points.
I was almost going to say all of the above, because I feel like that,
Okay, then you can have 15.
I mean, it was
a
trick question.
But I didn't say that, because I knew
that. But it was true. Yeah. It was like a trick question, so.
I really am worried about birds giving me, if anything, that is what I'm most afraid of, is even just touching a bird feather and getting avian flu.
Yeah.
No, definitely. There are people that want to kill all of the koalas in Australia
chlamydia.
Because they have chlamydia. Yeah.
Yeah,
you knew this already. Yeah, because I was thinking about it. You know that mountain lion in Griffith Park, P22?
Uh-huh, I love him. He's like my dog.
Me too. You know, he killed a koala recently.
Yes, what? He broke into the LA Zoo and he killed a koala.
Really?
But this koala was like always hanging out outside of their outside of its enclosure, like chilling
outside of its enclosure.
Yeah, it was like it was a girl, right? It was a female koala. I think she was always just chilling by herself.
Yeah, it was an older guy or whatever. Yeah. It was a male or female. Mm-hmm.
And so P22 just saw that little snack and gobbled them right up. And then he was pardoned by the game warden.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Cool. Because they were going to catch him and like either relocate him.
Yeah,
I think they were going to relocate
him.
They could have put him down because he's now a nuisance animal.
Yeah.
But they were going to relocate him, and the warden decided not to.
What I was going to say is that it's possible that P22 has chlamydia now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is that koala?
Yeah, from that koala.
He's a real rascal, this P22. He's had quite a life. But I feel like chlamydia, easily treatable.
Oh, we were wondering about that earlier. Chlamydia is not one you get for life.
No, people get chlamydia all the time.
Okay.
It's like you take a pill.
So that's
so
the
then
thing
why
is
are they
that,
trying to kill all those koalas?
Because it's not the chlamydia that we have.
Oh, it's like
and that's why
koala chlamydia, like marsupial chlamydia
exactly,
or whatever.
Yeah. And it we're getting it from, you know, people will like hold
don't touch
these.
A koala.
That's
don't
the
kill
thing.
Koalas.
Also, because that koala
it's
doesn't want you to
them.
Touch it.
Yeah.
That koala just wants to live its life and be a koala and not have a bunch of humans like projecting their cutesy personalities onto it.
Yeah. It said, what was that? There was a cartoon when we were kids about a koala.
Yes! What
eating
was
eucalyptus.
That? They would just sit outside that person's window and just eat eucalyptus all day.
Yeah, that's
what
a cartoon.
That cartoon.
That's what made us obsessed with koalas.
But what? Does anybody remember what that cartoon is?
No, I will never look it up.
Right, any listeners,
listeners?
Tweet at us. What's that cartoon with the koala?
It came after
eating...
Maya the Bee, I think.
It was
all
that,
the hashtags.
In that
it's
block.
So fuzzy.
Maya the Bee.
Just tweet at us. Hashtag. What's that? What is that cartoon with the koala hanging outside your window eating eucalyptus? And hashtag it. Chlamydia koala.
Yeah.
I only vaguely know how Twitter works. So, well, Marcy, thank you so much
for having me.
This is really fun.
Yeah. We got into some heavy stuff. We had a good time doing it.
And we talked about P22, which is one of my favorite topics.
Yeah. And I got to get that Louise Hayes book now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's really a, it's a fun game.
It is.
Very fun game.
Yeah. Find out everything's your fault.
Yeah. This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
You can follow us on Twitter at Definitely Dying. And until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.